Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, this is so important. We're going to be learning all about hair, everything you need to know about hair, hair loss, hair restoration. Spencer Cobran is an expert in hair in the field of hair loss and hair restoration. He's the founder of the American Hair Loss Association. And his platform is really all about awareness for patients and consumers to not get misled. And I think that he also has created the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons. And he has a great podcast. I encourage you guys to listen to The Bald Truth. We are delighted to have you on the podcast, Spencer. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So, what made you get into hair? A little bit about you.
Well, in brief, I started to lose my hair when I was 21 years old. And back then, you're talking about the late 80s, there was nothing. All the information was, I mean, it's kind of similar to today, but on a smaller scale. But there was no one to help me. There were surgeons who wanted to perform surgery on me when I had no real visible hair loss. I was just starting to shed my hair. I was lucky enough to be in New York City, so I was able to, speak with the so-called top surgeons in the day. And all the products and services that you saw advertised back then on television and the back of magazines, I tried them all. None of them worked. Fast forward in 1994, I read an article in the New York Times about finasteride being tested for hair loss. It was a drug for benign prostate hyperplasia. Older guys were taking it. One of the side effects they noticed, they were hair loss cessation and they were growing their hair back. So I found a doctor willing to prescribe it to me. And I guess the rest is history. It stopped my hair loss in its tracks. I decided to write about my experiences in the industry. And I wrote a book called The Bald Truth that was published by Simon & Schuster Pocket Books back in 1998. And that's how my career started.
Amazing. So, do you have a medical or a scientific background, or you've just self-taught everything?
I have self-taught. I decided to delve into the field for myself, and I realized that everyone was trying to rip me off. I mean, I almost made some major mistakes. I lost a lot of money as a young person. And I was a young entrepreneur, so I was in another field. I was lucky enough to be able to kind of step back while I was earning money and do my research. But with that said, I was also in a position where I could have afforded hair transplants back in the day, where I would have had like 4 millimeter plugs in my hairline and I would have been destroyed. So I had the wherewithal and I felt very fortunate to be, in a position where, okay, I learned these lessons. I'm going to do my research and try to share this with people. And maybe someone will publish my book. And that's how it started.
That's very impressive. I think the psychological impact of hair loss for both men and women is so huge. It really drives a dramatic urge to get something done to fix what's going on. What are some of the first steps for younger people when they're in that hair shedding phase where in the shower lots of hair is coming out? And what would you say is a great initial foray into how to figure out your hair loss?
I think that the most important thing is to try not to panic because this industry preys on the vulnerability of young people. Anyone dealing with the initial onset of hair loss preys on their panic. It's also important to know, and I know you asked me what the first steps were, but to kind of understand that most of what these people see, what we see in our feeds today, all the products and services being offered, they don't work. 99% of all products and services in this industry, which sounds insane, but I guess the same goes for kind of like the weight loss industry as well, or at least it did, they're ineffective. And so you need to see a physician. This is a medical condition. It's called, in most cases, people are dealing with androgenetic alopecia, right? So it's genetic and it's triggered by androgens, possibly some other things, but see a doctor. This is a real medical condition. Just don't go online and buy some product or service. Get assessed. See if, in fact, you are dealing or what kind of hair loss you're dealing with, and then take it from there.
Yeah, critical, I think, to get lab work and check your thyroid, check, make sure you're not iron deficient, check your hormone panels. All of that is so important.
Absolutely. But I will say, and I don't mean to interrupt you, in most cases, and you probably find this in your practice, even with women, in most cases, it comes down to genetics. And a lot of women are dealing with androgenetic alopecia. And What happens with women, especially, is they're told to get their blood work and their lab work, and everything comes back normal. And then they're kind of like, here's a bottle of hospital.
Yeah, that seems to be the first line. That's exactly true. It's very rare that you find like an autoimmune condition or something causing hair shedding. But I will say that I think in women who are menstruating, the hair loss related to low iron can be pretty tremendous. I think I always check a
It is.
ferritin panel and iron stores, all that.
And believe it or not, I mean, you're probably aware of this, vitamin D3. They're finding that, I mean, there was a recent paper written in a kind of a questionable journal, but I know the person who actually had it published. And in their practice, they were giving women and men, but women especially, who had lower levels of vitamin D3, just supplementing vitamin D, and their hair loss stopped. So that's a possibility as well.
That does help. And then people do get regularly put on, or they just go buy over the counter Rogaine for men, Rogaine for women. There is some success with that. Have you
Oh,
seen success with that?
there is. I mean, in my view, just doing this for so long, and again, I always have to preface this by saying I'm not a physician, and I'm speaking to you. You're a physician, but I've just been in the field for so long, and I've had the opportunity to speak to so many thousands of callers. You know, I was on the radio from 1998 to 2009, and it was a national radio program. So, just thousands of people calling with their experiences. In my experience, and the experience of most hair loss sufferers, topical minoxidil is kind of like a band-aid. You're not really dealing with the hormonal levels, you know, the hormonal issues. That's a tough word for me. And, you know, some of the other issues that you need to address systemically. I'm not saying it doesn't work, and it can be incredibly beneficial to kind of like, you know, get things back on track and keep your hair in a longer anagen phase. But for the long term, you're going to need more than minoxidil.
Yeah, and then for people who wanted to get on finasteride, obviously we need a physician's visit and a prescription. And it's not always the right product for everybody because it can suppress your libido and just kind of change your feeling of how ambitious and energetic you are. Would you say you see
Correct.
that in some people, or is everybody tolerating it?
Well, no, not everyone's not tolerating it, but I'll tell you what's interesting. So when you read about finasteride or Propecia online, there is this, you know, people are kind of like in a panic, and guys think they have just two choices. You either keep your hair or keep your sex life. You can't have both. The reality is, at least clinically, the adverse side effects are relatively, you know, a low percentage of guys deal with it. However, even if you were to triple those, you know, those variables or triple those values, when you think about drugs like hormonal birth control, SSRIs, all the stuff that's being prescribed like candy, they have so much more of an impact on people's sex lives, their libidos, their moods than finasteride. I never really understood the mass hysteria about this particular drug compared to drugs like, and this is also a major trigger for women, you know, the pill that are, you know, given to teenage girls at like 15, 16 years old, that you're completely changing their hormonal profile. And no one really talks about that. People really, for whatever reason, concentrate on this really low percentage of men who deal with these adverse side effects from a drug that's been around for 30 years.
I think the people that feel it are very vocal about it because it can reduce your libido a little bit, but
It can make you completely impotent as well. But, you know, and again, I speak for a living, so if I talk over you, I apologize. But
no, I
I'm
love
pretty
it.
passionate about this.
Go for it.
You know, until from 1992, when Proscar was put on the market, till 2005, there were no recorded, or at least online, reports of, say, post-finasteride syndrome or long-term adverse effects from these drugs. It really started with a couple of guys who created a website online who were having these effects. And then this kind of mass hysteria thing kind of blew up. And then they were like these cottage industries made up, you know, from the attorneys and physicians who were treating this syndrome. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't occur, but it is interesting to me that, you know, for over 20 years, no one was talking about this. And I work with hundreds of physicians who treat thousands of patients. And if anyone had an adverse side effect, whether it's gynecomastia, lower libido, brain fog, all the stuff that's reported, they would get off the drug, and in time, they would return back to their baseline. That seems to have somehow miraculously changed. I think a part of that could be due to generics, which no one really talks about. Everyone thinks you get a generic drug, it's exactly the same as the brand name, which as a doctor, you know is not the case. So yeah, I mean, it's something that I think is really important that consumers and patients are aware of. This is a drug that can change your, that affects your hormones. But a lot of guys go into it with this terror. They're so fearful that they don't even give themselves a fighting chance.
Yeah, like
That?
you have beautiful hair. Like, how long should they stay on a prescribed regimen to see good results with
Well,
doing that?
first of all, I appreciate the compliment. I have to tell your audience this is a partial sham. So I comb it over a little bit. I have a lot of hairspray and I use something called Dermact, which is like a concealer in the back. But I'm almost 60 years old. So, I mean, I feel pretty good that I've been able to maintain as much hair as I have.
So, how long do you think it takes to see results from finasteride? You said a lot of people don't. They're scared going into it. They don't want to give it a lot of time. They back out too quick with the first sign of any symptoms. But how long for like a stable, nice growth?
Okay, well, you know, as far as seeing results, people automatically think they're going to grow their hair back from these drugs. And the thing about finasteride is it really, a lot of guys won't notice results because you're essentially slowing down or stopping the progression and reversing the miniaturization process. So what most people will see is kind of a cessation of shedding if they're actively shedding at initially. And that could take about 3 months, you know, 2 months, 3 months, you know, maybe a little longer. But they'll notice an overall kind of a general feeling of fullness, more stylability, the sides and the back, even the areas that you don't think are balding, they are actually miniaturizing as well. So you're going to notice that that hair is going to look better. And if you're lucky, you're going to see some regrowth. First regrowth that you may see is in the crown, but finasteride also works in the hairline. Even though it's not indicated for the hairline, it absolutely works in the hairline. My hairline was receding. That was the really For me, that was the most compelling part of why I was so upset about my hair loss because it was changing the framing of my face. That slowed down considerably and kind of stopped in its tracks. So, you know, for me, it stopped it as a mature hairline. I mean, when you're 21, it's not great, but it was what it was, you know? But it takes about 3 months, I would say, to see initial results, but you should wait at least a year, as long as you're not having any adverse effects to, you know, give it some time. But
And
it's,
average dosing, like for women, if you're not trying to have a baby or you're at postmenopausal, you can go on a low dose, like a milligram or so. And then for men, is it more like 2 to 5 milligrams?
Well, I can tell you that, I mean, again, I have to preface this by saying I'm not a physician, but women who are postmenopausal or who are, you know, they know they can't get pregnant, the drug doesn't seem to be as effective as some physicians are hoping. And I don't know what you've seen in your practice. Women would be put on the typical 1 milligram dose if they are put on the drug. As far as men are concerned, I definitely believe it.
Well, that's it for now, guys. Thank you so much to Spencer for shedding light on hair restoration. This was such an insightful episode. You can find him on Instagram at Spencer Cobran or check out his website, www.thebaldtruth.com. Don't forget to find us on our Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, and that's Dr. K, Drkay. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.